Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and my guest tonight is very exciting, the Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel, who's really, I want to say pioneering a most amazing, or one of the pioneers of an amazing round-the-world global consciousness movement called the Oneness Movement. So welcome to the show, Dr. Keel.
Oh, thank you, Veronica, and please call me Patricia.
Patricia it is.
I don't know who Dr. Keel is. He left the building after I got my doctorate.
Well, I think it's really interesting to read your history and see that you started the Unity in Berkeley, and you're pretty feisty, and you've got yourself a nice name like Keel, so you can keep things on an even keel, even though you're plowing the white waters of change, right?
Well, and I've had a few other names because of being married, and finally decided to just go back to the one that I was given at birth, which feels like a steadying influence for me. So, yes.
Well, of course. Isn't it a great name for that?
I like it.
So now the Oneness Movement, I'm also a blessing giver, and the Oneness Movement just blows my mind literally and figuratively because it is catching on all over the world, and I'm fascinated by the fact it actually changes people's brain patterns on scans. Have you seen those scans?
I have seen things on the internet, and I've talked to people who actually have had their brain scanned at the University of in Philadelphia, where they were doing some of these studies a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. But I've never had my brain scanned.
But it's very exciting for people. I feel this, to have people understand our unlimitable potential, and for me, who has never been a guru follower, to feel the presence of Bhagavan and Amma coming from India and literally downloading in so many of our lives, it's just a real mind blower, isn't it? Literally.
Well, and also, it's really important for people to hear this. Amma and Bhagwan, who are avatars, do not consider themselves gurus. And I think that part of the initial resistance to the Oneness Movement years ago, when I first became a blessing giver, I felt the Oneness Movement in 2005 and went to India early in 2006. And when I came back, there was resistance in my community because of this sense of moving forward with a guru at some level. But they're very clear that they are not here on the planet at this time for people to follow them or worship them in any way. They're coming in with avatar consciousness, and what their avatar consciousness is carrying is this diksha, is this presence of oneness and this capacity to literally, as you've said, change our brains so that we essentially move out of our minds and move into that field of divine grace, which is the oneness that's felt in all spiritual traditions and all religions.
And it is, and
so
diksha,
I just want to make that point right up front.
I appreciate
Nobody
that.
Needs to follow a guru, and there is a difference between guru and avatar.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted you to explain also. What is an avatar?
An avatar is one who is embodied in this moment in history, in time, carrying a particular energy now. And if we would think of, for instance, the Buddha was carrying the energy and the divine grace of for mindfulness. Mm. So the Buddha, in a sense, was an avatar for that level of consciousness. And that level in the physical body could be identified with the third eye consciousness. Mm. Christ carried avatar consciousness on the planet for the presence of love and forgiveness, which could be identified with the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. So there, these different beings who come on the planet at different moments in time, and they're certainly their avatars in music, their avatars in writing, their avatars in art, their avatars in housekeeping, you know, in many different areas on the planet, people come in who carry great grace in one particular field.
And they're not necessarily in the third dimension in the normal way at all, are they? They're sort of a little outside of time and space and not limited by the same boundaries, right?
Well, in the sense of Amma and Bhagwan, and also in the sense of Jesus coming in, they do come in body. Mm. They're embodied. The avatar consciousness, however, has been carried through many different bodies over time. And Bhagwan will tell you that he is here in this moment in time because there's a shift, a 26,000-year shift that is happening right now at the end of 2012. It's been told to us by many different cultures and many different traditions, and of course the Mayan calendar being the one that most of us are familiar with. But essentially we're moving out of an old energy field into a new, what they call the golden age. Mm-hmm. And Bhagwan is here in this moment in time carrying this avatar energy and being the one who can make this transfer. And that's the thing that's so extraordinary about the Diksha or the oneness blessing.
Well, it's interesting from my perspective as an intuitive. You know, we've learned for a long time that there are these incredible downloads that are universal downloads coming in to heighten our ability and our awareness. And it seems like Bhagavan is very attuned to that. This is how it seems to me, right? This is without education, just perceiving. That he's extremely attuned to those new frequencies. Is that right? That give us a more than a leg up, a brain up.
Yeah. Well, that could be one way of explaining and understanding this phenomenon. And in my experience, it's one of those things that we really can't explain with the tools that we've been given in our intellect and in our mind.
So that might be a relief.
It blows the mind to think that these kinds of experiences that people are having, which for many of us are just very ordinary. Mm-hmm. Some of the experiences are extraordinary. They're extreme highs in consciousness and expanded awareness and visual field expanding. But there's a very ordinariness about this experience of the oneness blessing and the awakening that's happening for many people that just allows us to be fully present to what is on a very ordinary day-to-day basis. And that's the thing that Bhagwan is really calling forth in all of us to really shift consciousness on the planet so that we can survive, so that we can really move into the golden age, which is an age of peace in our relationships and in our heart and mind.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And Liz, before we go very much farther into this absolutely amazing and fascinating subject, I want to know who Patricia Keel is. Tell us how you got into, for example, the Unity Church in Berkeley, which I believe you started, right?
Well, I think I need to begin my call to a spiritual life, because I really feel that I am called into this lifetime to not only know the divine at a deeper level myself, but to support others as they find that presence that is the real depth of who we are and the depth of what is present to us in every moment. Mm. The all that is, the Mother, Father, God, the Divine Presence, the Holy Presence, Spirit, whatever we want to call it. And I was really catapulted into that through the window, the door, the floor of 12-step. And, you know, I had a background and went to church when I was a kid, and I was in the choir and all that, but I can't say that I was one of those bright beings who had mystical experiences as a child. It was really when I was early in raising my children, going through divorce and trying to cope with my life by drinking, that I found the presence and found a deep calling to the divine. Mm-hmm. And so I did everything I needed to do. I took every class that I could imagine, and I was one of those people who had stacks of self-help books and, you know, trying to fix myself because I felt extremely broken in terms of my relationships, and also just the whole issue of drinking had become out of control for me. And so I found Unity actually in an AA group. Hmm. And I was very, just extremely moved by my experience of going to a Unity church for the first time. And like many people, my experience was I felt like I had come home. And you'll hear people say that all the time when they come to Unity. They felt like they came home. So that was, you know, that was the beginning for me. And that home became a base, took a lot of classes. I became a licensed Unity teacher, which took me probably 5 or 6 years. And there was always that calling that there was something more. You know that feeling. I mean, you probably have it.
I have it,
Veronica.
Yes. But yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. Is
sure
it not wonderful?
People, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to your program are very familiar with this feeling. I used to think of it kind of as a divine discontent. But that sort of puts it at some kind of a negative kind of a hole, like there's a hole. And I've come to feel it more like something that's just pulling me. It's pulling my heart and expanding my heart and really expanding me into a bigger place in consciousness and in the world. And from that sort of calling that I wasn't really sure what it was, but I just followed my nose and followed my intuition on it. I ended up starting a Unity Church in Berkeley. And that was 2000. I incorporated the church and then really started in earnest right after September 11th, the services there.
Wonderful. So you are actually a minister.
I am. Mm-hmm. I wasn't when I started the church. I was what is known as a licensed Unity teacher. And Unity has they offer the opportunity for someone who's a teacher to do what they call pioneer, which it literally was like that, schlepping things back and forth, but to pioneer a church. You know, we carried the chairs, we carried everything in the beginning. Mm. And so I did that, and then eventually when my church had some form to it, I applied and was accepted to Unity's field licensing program, and it took me 5 years, but I was ordained as a Unity minister and through that field licensing program. Mm.
Well, that is very, it was a real following your calling. I mean, that is a wonderful story, actually. So when did the Oneness Blessing show up? You said 2005?
2005. I was sitting in my office, and I had a call from a friend of mine who also was a licensed Unity teacher, part of my community in Marin County, which is where I live, Northern California. And he said, oh, I've been to India, and I just want to come over and share something with you. And so I said, sure, come on over. And the moment he walked through the threshold of my office, I just had this overwhelming feeling, you're going to India. Hmm. You know, and it was totally out of the blue because I really didn't, I've not been one of those people who had followed different Indian paths and, you know, in the 60s and 70s, had that longing to go to India and study the Eastern traditions. And actually, my partner Roy and I had been thinking maybe we would go to Italy that year. Hmm. There was something sort of wonderful and romantic about Italy. And then all of a sudden, John walked through the door and it was like, boom, I'm going to India.
Right on.
And sure enough, I did. Immediately, he gave me a oneness blessing, which is, as you know, he placed his hands very gently on the top of my head. And at that moment, I felt very peaceful. I didn't have any, like, bells and whistles go off or anything. There was just a really nice, calming sense that I felt. But in the next couple of days, things started really happening in my relationship with my daughter. And that had been kind of a struggle. And I couldn't attribute it to anything. I wasn't doing things differently, but something was going on inside me that had me responding differently, and our interactions started to shift, and the only thing I really could attribute it to was this Diksha, this oneness blessing.
Hmm. How old was your daughter?
Well, now she's 30, but at that time she was living with us, and, you know, there was just stress in the household. That was a few years ago, clearly, 6 years ago, so... and she now is a blessing giver, and we have a great relationship. She's just a beautiful being. But that was kind of the beginning for me of knowing something is happening here this oneness blessing is very real and very alive in my relationships.
Well, it's so interesting because you said she is a beautiful being, and I just muse that so many people are, but we're so cocooned by these reactive programs in our, mostly in our brain, I guess, all through the body, but you know, and it really unravels those, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. It doesn't make logical sense, but I keep seeing it over and over. Do you have other stories? I love that. I've heard wonderful things about families who are really eased all around because of it.
It's quite amazing. You know, I have a beautiful son, and we've always had a wonderful connection. And I haven't felt that the kind of the shift in my relationship with him that I felt with my daughter. And maybe that's part of the mother-daughter grace, you know, the energy between mothers and daughters. My mother actually was alive at the time when I went to India. She's now passed on, but she lived to be 94 and passed away in 2009. And, you know, it was really beautiful to be more deeply connected with my mother in the last years of her life and just feel this incredible joy and love through that connection. And actually my daughter ended up moving in and being with my mother and helping to care for my mother in the last year of her life. So there was this incredible just shift and release of any old patterns of behavior, karmic patterns, whatever you want to call it, that not only may have been mine or my mother's or my daughter's, but that are part of really our collective. You know, we have a lot of drama around those relationships and family.
Did you, were you able to give your mother oneness blessings?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Did she love that?
Absolutely. She did. She was always so supportive of all of the adventures in spirituality that I had. Mm-hmm. And she was a big support in terms of my launching this church, Unity of Berkeley. She really supported me and supported the church in many ways. And she loved that. She loved the blessing. And, of course, not only can you offer the oneness blessing by placing your hands on someone's head, but you can also give them a blessing intentionally, which is something I do on my radio program because I love that I have a radio program too. And that's something that you can do any time, day or night, to offer this grace to friends and family and to the world.
And we've done it on the phone quite a bit, too, which is wonderful.
Right.
Which is similar to radio, right?
Right. Well, yeah.
But I think it's just such, it's going around the world in an amazing rate. You know, it could actually shift the whole collective, couldn't it?
Well, that's Bhagwan's charge. That's his vision. The vision is 70,000 awakened beings by the end of 2012.
But I thought and that he had surpassed that. I thought they'd
they have.
Yeah.
They have. And it's now, I think, 114. It's very interesting, too, because as Westerners, we're kind of the toughest nuts to crack all globally. We're so mental. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are some places in Europe that have that same kind of energy, but there's such a reliance on the mind and the intellect here.
And individual thought process, where a lot of places work for the group, yeah?
How important the self is. We think that it's all about us, that we're the ones who are doing it, rather than knowing and trusting that it's through the grace of the divine that everything really is flowing through us. So it's interesting because when I first went to India, to the Oneness University, I went in March of 2006, and I was at a smaller campus, and Sri Bhagwan had invited a number of indigenous people and healers from all over the world to come and to go through the 21-day Oneness course. At that time, it was 21 days. Prior to that, it had been 45 days. Then later it became 10 days, 7 days, now it's 2 days, and I just did a oneness course in Las Vegas a couple weekends ago in one day, and we initiated people as oneness blessing givers. But when I was back there in India in 2006, there was a large group of just extraordinarily amazing healers from all over the world. There was Mandaza from Zimbabwe. There were chiefs from various tribes, indigenous tribes in the U.S. and Canada. Hmm. There were several Maori healers. There was Laro, who worked in the jungles of Peru as a healer. There was a woman who was a homeopath from Germany. There were just these incredible New Zealand, people from New Zealand and from Australia, from many, many different cultures and backgrounds. And it was so beautiful to see how they not only received the grace, went through these processes, but how embedded it could become in their practice. Hmm. And I know at the same time they had Don Alejandro, who was the elder of the Mayan culture, who was back there. They had the Pope's secretary. That was always one of the things people said, you know, that people would think that the Catholic Church would be opposed to this, but yet the Pope's secretary came as a guest of Bhagwan. And many
Isn't
people
that
from
interesting,
many,
eh?
Yeah. Yeah, so from all different religions and different cultures. And that has been seeded for quite a long time. And now, as you say, with this oneness meditation that's happening, it's really global. Mm-hmm. It's totally amazing. This afternoon, I'm going to be doing a global webcast, and there are going to be 14 of us, oneness meditators, from all over the world offering the oneness meditation at the same time.
Oh, what time is it going to be on? Mm-hmm.
Well, for you, you can see it. Your listeners won't be able to because the time is different, but it's going to be at 7 p.m. East Coast time tonight.
Mm. How exciting.
That kind of global technology has really expanded, plus the way that the Oneness Blessing can be delivered now through the eyes of Oneness Meditators in addition to the hands-on and the intentional Diksha.
I've been to a number of personal appearances of people who are doing what they're calling the Om Blessings and the Idiksha.
Right, the Oneness Meditation.
Yeah, and that's what's going on online for people who don't know, right? Would you like to explain how they can connect with that?
There are a couple ways, but probably the easiest thing for people to remember is OnenessUSA.org.
Okay.
O-R-G, OnenessUSA.org. All the information that people would need about these global webcasts can be found on that website. There's a calendar, a daily calendar, that gives you not only the times of the webcast, but also the actual link for the channels. So it's updated every single day. In addition to that, the live events are also posted on OnenessUSA.org. So people can find out about an event that might be happening in their area.
And it's so wonderful, Patricia, because you can, I'm not a very good sleeper, like a lot of people are kind of sensitive. And sometimes the middle of the night, I'll just get up, go and check, and there'll be somebody radiating this incredible Diksha online.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just sit there just like, whoa, it's almost lazy, but everything in you goes into this huge meditation expansion. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's pretty incredible, and it's getting more powerful. I'm finding every single time I offer the oneness meditation, the energies are increasing.
Well, what does it feel like when you sit down? For people who haven't seen it, she'll be sitting at the computer screen and at the right moment with the music, and you know, usually we've meditated a bit into it, and then you open your eyes, right? What happens with you under those circumstances?
Well, all of the oneness meditators have been initiated by the Dasas in India to be carriers, in a sense. It's not, I'm not doing anything. I basically am carrying the presence of this divine grace that Amma and Bhagwan are giving to us. So what I do to prepare ahead of time is I call upon that grace. I call upon Amma and Bhagwan, and I basically ask them to come in and take over. They just literally take over from me. And as the music plays, we invite people who are watching to go into a time of contemplation, connecting with the presence of the divine in whatever way they know that presence, and to really have a conversation, really have a personal relationship with their divine. And then as the music changes, then I open my eyes, and the divine grace, the energy of Ama Bhagwan, literally is it's somehow in my body, mm-hmm. and it's coming out through the eyes. And so people are simply asked to look into the eyes of the person who is offering the oneness meditation. That's all they need to do, is look into the eyes.
And all you need to do is just sit there and let it be transmitted through you?
That's what happens. It mm-hmm. just comes through. And it's very it's very powerful energetically, and often there will be laughter that comes, or sometimes there will be tears that come out of my eyes. But and people ask me, especially if I'm doing a live event, because I might look into one person's eyes and then there might come laughter. They ask me if that's a personal thing. In other words, am I like laughing about something? Or but there's no person there to have a personal experience.
So you're gone.
If there's laughter, there's simply just that state of joy and bliss and ecstasy that's coming through, mm-hmm. and the person that's Patricia is not thinking about something that's joyful or thinking about something that's sad or whatever. It's just flowing through, and then people who are receiving it may also have a similar experience where, as they're looking into the eyes of the oneness meditator, they may feel tears well up. They may feel something inside them. They may start laughing. And it doesn't necessarily happen at the same time that the meditator is, but that's essentially, that is the divine's gift to each person who's receiving this grace. Mm-hmm. They're gifted with their own experience of the divine within them. So it's such a beautiful offering, and I feel so extremely blessed and grateful to be able to offer this.
And I guess the way the brains are responding to it is uniquely, for example, I'm just making an intellectual calculation, which you and I know isn't always the fastest route to spiritual awareness, but in any case, it seems like where our brains have locked themselves into a program suddenly unleashes. And isn't that where some of the laughter and the tears come from?
That could totally be. That's a good idea. I'll go with that one.
Well, and
it's as good a concept as anyone.
And the thing yeah. that I'm surprised at is I don't get those emotional outbursts, and I feel like I'm too well behaved, and yet I don't want to contrive anything. Except periodically, when I hear the music, my body just starts moving all over the place. There's no way to stop it. So I guess that's similar. But it seems like it has, what I'm saying is it has a very personal interaction and a life of its own. You can't really either expect or decree. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Diksha energy, the divine grace that Bhagwan and Ama have unleashed has a very specific activity in the body, and that is to raise the Kundalini energy. Mm-hmm. So I love that you share that happens for you, that the energy in the body starts moving, because that is really the first thing that happens with the Diksha, whether it's a hands-on Diksha, and people have that experience with the oneness meditation as well, that the Kundalini gets activated, and that's that subtle energy that begins at the base of the spine and moves up through all the chakras to the crown. And so that's part of what is going on. The other thing that you said, which I think is really important, when you said the music, you hear a particular music, and that causes something to occur.
Right.
Is that what you said?
Yes, I did. My body starts to move around.
Yeah. Now, see, one of the things that Bhagwan has said And when we do the live events, we always let people know about this. But this is one of the graces of the meditation, the oneness meditation. We can anchor the state that we experience when we're receiving the oneness meditation. And we can anchor it with the music.
Oh.
And in a sense, I think that's what's happened for you. And I know for me, when I first started doing the oneness meditation, I had my own anchor, and I would put my earphones in on my iPod prior to offering the meditation, and all I needed to do was hear this one particular song, and I would immediately go into the state.
This is wonderful.
And so, but see, this is exactly part of what can happen for people. Mm-hmm. You can anchor your state. When you're in a high state, you can anchor it with many things. And music, for some of us, is a beautiful way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that state, you literally can think about someone that you want to give this presence to, a family member, you know, a loved one, a friend, the larger world, and you can transfer the state of the presence.
Yes, I sometimes I hold the picture of, say, my grandson in front of it whilst I do that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So you've already got the anchor. You've got one really great anchor. You know, get yourself whatever CD it is, or, you know, get it so that you can play it whenever you want to just be in that present state. And there are other ways people can anchor it, with some with a smell, maybe with an incense or with a visual field of looking at something. But that's part of the power of this oneness meditation, is you don't have to have the hands-on blessing, mm-hmm. and it can be transferred to people by people who are not initiated as oneness blessing givers.
Well, I have to say to you, Patricia, my energy is just buzzing with your energy right now. So you're already transmitting. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I love it.
Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed through the years, all the healing work I've done, is that people are besieged a lot with empathy and holding each other in some kind of stasis energetically, you know, and this is like a real contribution to always be sending out an expanding or a rising frequency, isn't it?
And this is the intent and the vision of Sri Bhagwan, and that is the 70,000 people who are awakened become literally lighthouse carriers of this divine grace,
mm-hmm.
and each of those 70,000 people affects 100,000 people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we need to be talking as you and I are right now, Veronica, and really holding this vibration for all of our listeners. But when you go to the grocery store, you're walking around the aisles, and you are literally influencing the people that you're touching,
mm-hmm.
as
a radiator.
You walk through your life. It's very extraordinary. It's really, it makes you want to get off your cushion,
mm-hmm.
and be in the world, and it calls you to do whatever grace you've been given to be in service and in seva in the world, just because this energy wants to be given. It wants
well,
to
and
flow.
Seva is a lot easier when you can just be in it, right? You can be there in a lineup at the post office and be giving it, yes?
Well, and because you're standing there and you're not the one who's being anxious because you think you're late, or you're mad because somebody's taking too long, you know, they're buying extra books of stamps, or they have 8 packages, and you just kind of, you look and you might even think, oh, there might have been a time that would have really upset me, but here I am in the post office. Isn't this nice? I really like the lady who's, you know, I mean, it's such a different...
Nice hat, great boots.
Yeah. You're just present to what is. There's no story about where you should have been, should have, could have, if I'd left earlier. All of that is just gone.
Now, do you have an awakening story of yourself, or can you tell people what awakening is, what it feels like, what it's like to experience, and how do we know?
How do we know?
You know, I don't want to get too technical with this,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to say that all of the people that are listening to your program are clearly people who are seekers. They're people who are looking to move into higher states in consciousness. Many of them may already be in awakened states.
Mm.
And the state of awakening, when you move into the state, is essentially when you can be in the world and the things that happen in your daily life no longer cause a major upheaval, a major charge, and oneness, we talk about it as a charge, for more than 5 minutes. Mm. So, you know, even 30 minutes would be enough. So say, you know, somebody says something to you and you get upset. You can be in an awakened state and get upset. You know, somebody offends you, or you offend somebody and you're hashing around inside your mind and your stomach's churning and you're saying, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. You know, I really upset my daughter or whatever. What am I going to do? Blah, 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 blah. So if somebody who's in an awakened state
sound like
can
me.
Feel all the...
You sound like me.
Well, you know, we all, this is the human condition. We can be in a state and we can feel all those feelings and we can deal with them. But after 30 minutes, if it's gone after 30 minutes and you're not calling your girlfriend and you're telling her and you're not triangulating with your husband, your partner, you know, you're not like spreading it like wildfire. You're just dealing with it within that 30-minute time frame and it's gone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come up next day. You're not dreaming about it. You're not churning in the physical body. That's a sign that you've moved into an awakened state.
Well, tell me this. Is it also that we can be released of sort of karmic subconscious programming in such a way that things aren't quite as...
That's what's happening.
Okay.
That it's that release
of these
karmic programs that are yours and your ancestors and also in our collective. Mm. It's the release of those karmas that's making it possible for the charge not to have residual impact in the body and in the mind. So, yes, and that's why the dikshas are helping to release these charges. The raising of the kundalini, because when the kundalini comes up, the kundalini is burning through some of these charges. This energy is burning through. And when we're willing, when we have that charge, when the upset comes, instead of saying, oh, no, I shouldn't be upset, when we allow ourselves to fully experience the upset, either in the moment or take it into our meditation and give ourselves, you know, 15 minutes to feel it completely, have our little tizzy fit, when we feel it, we release the charge, and that's the releasing of those karmic energy patterns.
And they don't return, do they, if you've given them the opportunity to,
no,
what, decharge,
not
would you say?
Felt them.
Discharge,
no.
I guess is the word.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, so
tell me, you've done awakening course, and you know when you do the oneness awakening course and you become a oneness blessing giver,
yes,
really the key aspect of these courses are these amazing processes, samskara shuddhi processes, where the divine, you're taken into a meditative experience, and the divine does the releasing for you. So even in the course of an hour and a half process, you can release massive energies around your relationship with your mother or with a partner or with your children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the grace of going through these processes, because you're doing it in a collective field rather than having to do it on your own. But there are many ways that it happens right now.
So some people like Doug Bentley, for example, and I don't know if you were participating in this. I haven't checked that out. But some went and did the Diksha work of the Oneness Blessings in jails in L.A., and apparently they had tremendous results. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I do. I just know that they've been doing it. It's been James Beard down in Southern California and L.A. that they've gone into the jails in L.A., working with mainly with the men in the jails, and have had extraordinary experiences in the jails.
Hmm.
I mean, they've had gang groups that have been really made peace with one another, different ethnic groups that have been at war with each other in the jails. It's been quite an amazing experience. Hmm. And I know when Doug did the oneness meditation in the jails, it was earlier in this year, maybe January, February, that he talked about how some of the inmates were just in tears. Their hearts really just opened up in ways that they'd never experienced before.
Wow.
So yes, it's quite powerful. And I live right near San Quentin, but I must say I have not, that hasn't been one of my callings to go into the jails, although I'd always be open to do it if somebody invited me.
Yeah, I don't think we have to do everything. It's just good
no.
to hear those kinds of stories. Now, I'd like to ask a funny question, which is, what about ambition? What about jobs? What about living in 3D once you've awakened? I guess I've been questioning whether it's okay to have ambition Do you see where I'm going with this? Is like
absolutely. Well, and you know, the awakened state that I was talking about, this sense of not having a charge, not being kind of amped up 30 minutes or less, that's moving into an awakened state.
And non-reactive.
Many people right now are going in and out of those awakened states. And there's a difference between that state and being fully awakened. And
okay.
Being fully awakened, one who's fully awakened has had a complete shift where they no longer experience the self. I am not in a fully awakened state. There are more and more people now who are moving into these states, and we were just on a call last night with Doug Bentley from India, and he was talking about how many people are moving into these states in India as they go through the deepening process.
Hmm.
And I'm going to India in December, so I'm totally looking forward to it.
I really want to go. I haven't been yet. But when I was thinking about ambition...
I want to address that.
Yeah.
You could imagine that someone who moves into a fully awakened state, if you're kind of like, oh, don't worry, be happy, everything's fine, you know, I'm just going to like just go with the flow all the time, that there would be this kind of sense of being totally laid back and not really needing to kind of pull up your bootstraps and do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But in my conversations, because I've been interviewing many of these people in the U.S. now who have been shifted into the fully awakened states, my conversations with them, they've indicated that nothing in their normal life has really changed. In other words, they're still doing the work that they're called to do in the world.
Hmm.
They simply are doing it without that internal drama and that need to always refer to the past or refer to the future. They're doing it from a deep place of presence. And so
it's like
I
a dharma, like you're in the flow of your dharma?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. You know, I think that people who are moving into these states, for the most part, are people they've laid the groundwork, certainly in the West, because there's such a movement that has to happen to get out of the mind, and most of the people that I've spoken to have been doing their work in terms of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be true of people in India, where the people who are in live very simple lives, many, many of those people are popping into awakened states.
Hmm.
But they don't have this kind of stuff that we seem to have. But I don't
literally stuff, huh?
Yeah, literally stuff. You know, like
yeah.
The declutching of the mind isn't so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of gears we've engaged for lifetimes.
Exactly.
So, you know, I haven't heard that from people. And my own experience of being in awakened states quite often, although not in a fully awakened state, is that I'm very much called to do what's mine in the world in just a most extraordinary way, and feel gifted with whatever it is that I need in the moment to do what it is I'm called to do. So there's kind of that extra knowingness that's there.
So there's a call and there's a flow that's not so obstructed, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Better than straight ambition in the old-fashioned way. Tell us about your radio show, because you have oneness. You have a whole 24-hour oneness programming system, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I was in India. I did the deepening, 4-week deepening process in January, February 2011. And when I came, actually, while I was there, I was getting this kind of message. You should start a 24-hour radio on the internet. I had done a live radio program with my partner, Roy, when we came back from India in 2007. We did a San Francisco-based program in KEST. We did a morning program, half an hour, mm-hmm. then an hour-long show that was live. And we would give the oneness blessing twice during the hour, and Roy would always do some of his poetry, because Bhagwan pronounced Roy's poetry as a Diksha, and his writing is a Diksha, and he's an amazing poet. So I had experience with radio, and I loved radio. But when I got back from the deepening, Bhagwan had just kind of planted the seed in me. And I dug around and found that I had a woman that I knew very well who was involved with Live 365.
Mm.
And so she helped me figure out how to do it, and I basically kind of taught myself how to do it. And I created this 24 hours a day radio station so people can tune in. Mm-hmm. It's onenessprogram.com. Mm-hmm. And they can tune in on their iPhone, just like your show. You know, you can tune in on your iPhone, your smartphone, your internet. And anytime, day or night, they can listen to an interview. And most of my interviews are with trainers. I have some international interviews. Most of them right now are U.S. people. Mm. And
people,
you know,
experience
night, if
a
you need
diksha?
Diksha, just tune in. You get a diksha. Every
Yay!
Half hour, there's a diksha.
How wonderful.
So it's kind of cool.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's great. Well, that's very Western.
Yeah. And then it also got picked up by Unity. So every Friday morning at 9 o'clock Pacific, I have one of those interviews is broadcast on Unity FM.
Great.
So the Oneness program is there, also going out to people who are tuned into Unity and New Thought Consciousness.
Oh, this is very exciting, isn't it?
It's, you know, the world is so amazingly global now, and I love what you're doing and bringing different, you know, people with different understandings and different ways of finding the divine and their path and higher consciousness. Because it's not the same for everyone. We all have things that we resonate with.
No, and I love
oneness
the fact.
Oneness may be something for some of the listeners who are on right now to explore. And again,
I
if they go to onenessusa.org, they can find out about Oneness Blessing Givers wherever they're living.
Wonderful. And I want to say about that, there's an election coming up. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. I've already voted.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I think it'll be over. When we run this show, it's probably going to be just after the election.
Oh, my.
Yes. So what I wanted to say, and it's probably a bit late for that, but I think to have, to give oneness blessings to election programs or, you know, isn't it a good idea to do that?
Well, we can... There's no time and space here, mm-hmm. so we could do a oneness blessing, the two of us, mm-hmm. give a oneness blessing, since you're a Diksha giver, mm-hmm. and we're giving it now. It's going to be energetically connected when this show is aired, and it'll just pass through the ethers, through all time and space.
Is one of the things that I pray for a lot is that consciousness rise through all the beings that are involved in the political structure.
Absolutely.
That would change everything, wouldn't it? I keep
Absolutely.
Saying to Spirit, well, you guys have a really strong pack over there. You know.
There you go.
But I agree with you. Let's do a Diksha. Can we do one? Can you do one for everyone listening and also for political people?
Sure. We'll do that. Right. And we'll just spend a few, not too long in the silence, mm-hmm. and you decide how you want to deal with that on your show. Mm-hmm. In my show, I put music behind it. But
okay, well, we might just do that.
Be in the silence, and I'll bring us back out.
All right, that
Beautiful.
Would be wonderful. So you can lead this.
So for those who are listening and have never had any experience of receiving the oneness blessing, know that there's nothing that you need to do. It would be beautiful if you're able to just relax and to sit and gently close your eyes. But if you're listening to the show and you're in your car or you're doing your exercise at the gym, know that the grace and the intelligence of the oneness blessing will find you in a most extraordinary way. So you don't need to worry that you're not receiving it in the right way. So let's begin, and just Veronica and I are both going to set an intention here. Mm-hmm. I invite you, if you are able to relax in the physical body, to just simply gently close your eyes. And bring your awareness into the breath for a moment, just noticing the movement of the body as you inhale, and gently release as you exhale. And once again, inhaling and releasing and exhaling. I invite you, for this moment, to put your awareness and your attention right on your heart. feel that connection that we each have heart to heart as we connect through the wonders of technology and through the very air that we breathe. That is one air. Take this moment and breathing in through the nose, just breathe right into your heart. And feel that expansion of the chest. And release. Let me take this moment now as we co-create together a divine intention. An intention for each one who is here with us listening to this program. Knowing that you've been called, this is a divine appointment for you. To open your heart more deeply to the divine presence, however that presence is active in your life, and by whatever name you know that presence. But we know that you know. And so as you connect more deeply into your heart, just allow yourself connecting deeply into the divine presence. And as we connect all of us heart to heart, being to being, all over the globe right now, we bring into this divine grace, into this deep connection with the One, all of those who have been called into leadership in our country and in the world. And we trust to know that in the heart of each one of these beautiful beings, there is a desire to serve and to serve our humanity to the highest and best of their being and their knowing. And we call into each one of them now as we call into ourselves to know our oneness of spirit, our oneness of body, our oneness of mind. And we give this Diksha now, as Veronica and I send this Diksha, to the one heart, to the one life, to the one love, to the one peace that graces each one of us and that inspires our leaders to be the best, to know the best, to do the best for all. So receive this grace, receive this Diksha for your highest. In the grace of oneness. Thanks for that presence of the divine that calls each of us to our highest and our best in all our relationships and in all that we are called to be and to do in the world. We say thank you for this great grace. Thank you, Veronica, for inviting me to be part of your show today. Thank you to all of our listeners.
And thank you, Patricia. It's funny, the unfolding possibility that came up through. Things are so possible when you do that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've so enjoyed our time, and I hope everyone else has. And if you'd like to tell people how to get hold of you.
Sure. I just want to thank you so much. It's been really fun for me to be be here with you on your program and to have an opportunity to just be in the presence of the divine grace as it flows through the listeners. And I just really want to appreciate everyone who is here listening to the program today. And if you would like to hear more on my Oneness Program, you can go to onenessprogram.com and click right on there and just listen anytime, day or night. I also am going to be traveling soon. I'm going to Toronto this weekend, then I'm going to be in Philadelphia for the Body, Mind, Spirit event.
Oh, wow.
The first weekend of November, and then I'm going to the next weekend, which I think will be right after your call, I'm going to be in Wichita. Oh. We're doing a major Oneness Awakening course in Wichita the weekend of the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and then I'm going to Overland Park, Kansas then to Kansas City and to Unity Village that week. So I'll be traveling and we'll be offering a lot of oneness meditations in the Midwest.
Wow,
so anyone, I'd love to connect with people. Also, I do private one-on-one sessions with people, and all that information is on onenessprogram.com.
Wonderful. Or patriciakeel.com as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't use that one so much, but yeah, I can't keep all this internet. It's like a lot. Between having my own TV channel and, you know, and a radio program, and so best is onenessprogram.com.
You have your own TV channel. We don't.
Well, that's what the
live stream. That's the live.
It's a live stream TV thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Excellent. Well, I feel absolutely. I just feel it's such a blessing, such a transcendence, such a happiness. I feel from the time we've spent together and the Diksha you gave us and brought through, and your time on the planet. Thank you.
Happy is good. Happy is good. I love it.
And I have one more question. If a person wanted to go to a deepening, are they happening very much on this continent now?
The deepening process right now in India is very powerful. And they recommend you go for 4 weeks, but I do believe probably after January, they will let you go for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks if you need to. Right now, many of the people who are going to India and participating in the deepening process are actually moving into fully awakened states while they're there. And they're expecting that that's going to happen more and more because of the acceleration of this phenomenon. People are becoming awakened. They're deepening experiences that trainers are giving, but it's not the same as the deepening in India. That would be something that I would highly recommend. And to do that, you do want to have taken a Oneness Awakening course first.
Okay. Well, I say many blessings to all of you who are listening to this show, and I say thank you so much, Patricia Keel. And any feedback on this show or connecting with me, Veronica, at veronicaentwistle.com. And again, thank you.
Thank you so much. And namaste, everyone.
And namaste, everyone. Mm-hmm.